There are people who want to practice hospitality, but the thought of inviting folks over to the house, it's just overwhelming. Amy Lively says she decided she would keep hospitality very simple.
I do clean one room, the room where everybody's going to be. I look at it the day before in the same time of day so I can see where does the light shine. You know, these are the good thing about evening gatherings. You just dim lights and candles. And I straighten up that one room. They're not going to look under the sofa. They're not going to open the drawers. I dust the stuff on top. I clean off the upholstery. And, you know, people are not going to remember the details of your house. They're going to remember how they felt in your house.
This is Family Life Today. Our host is the president of Family Life, Dennis Rainey, and I'm Bob Lapine. There is a connection between hospitality and the mission that God has called every one of us to, the Great Commission. We'll talk about that connection today. Stay tuned. And welcome to Family Life Today. Thanks for joining us. You know, in the Bible, one of the spiritual gifts that is described, I think it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where it lists a bunch of spiritual gifts, and one of them is the gift of evangelism. And I've heard people over the years who have looked at that list and said, okay, that's not my gift, and maybe thought to themselves, as a result—
That excuses me.
I don't have any responsibility in this area.
Right. But
Jesus seemed to have a different opinion, didn't he?
He did. He commanded us to go to the world. And sometimes that world is right next door. It's not across the big pond to another country, to a third world country. It's to a neighbor who's isolated, who lives just down the street, who needs us to come.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Dennis, and I'm your neighbor, and I'm really sorry I haven't met you. And that was the training that we received earlier from Amy Lively, who heads up a ministry called the Neighborhood Cafe. Welcome back,
Amy. Thank you very much.
Amy and her husband, David, live in Lancaster, Ohio. They've been married for 23 years. They have a totally obedient daughter, Emma, and a very holy dog by the name of?
Lily.
Lily. Oh, that's pretty. I got a granddaughter named Lily. And an unsaintly cat. What's his name?
Stone. He's got a heart of stone. I just call him Mister.
Yeah. Well, she's put together a kit that really helps people reach out to their neighbors and get connected.
Well, and you know, I'm just sitting here thinking this time of year, between now and the end of the year, if there's ever a time to open your home and invite folks in, this really is a setup time of year to open up
your home. This is the perfect time of year because at this time of year, it's not unexpected to get something from your neighbors.
And so when there's an invitation to come to a holiday open house, that's a great opening opportunity to get to know folks. And you would use that as a preliminary event and then invite folks after the new year. We're going to start getting together every other week for a Bible study or to go through a book club. Do you call it a Bible study? How do you describe it?
I do call it a Bible study. I call it a devotional. I call it a gathering. After a while, it becomes the cafe. Are you going to cafe this week as they get to understand that? So you can, it has to be natural for the hostess. So come up whatever works for you.
I have to go all the way back on this because we talked about you getting this prompting and kind of denying it for 8 months. I think all of us have had this sense that, boy, we ought to do that. But something pushed you over the line. Where was the fire in your belly? Do you think you just have a burden for evangelism?
I do, but that was a long process. God had to really break my heart for my neighbors. And what happened when I first heard the words Neighborhood Bible Study, and I was so excited to do it, and I had a little logo, and I knew what I was going to say on the invitation. I knew how it would all play out. When the reality of that hit me, and I thought of what it would actually take, I got scared. But what happened was, because I was being personally disobedient to something God had laid on my heart, guess what happens? Mm. He's a loving parent. And so He disciplined me. And my excuse of, I don't have time, well, He really showed me what it was like to not have time. I mean, I was working around the clock. I was taking two steps forward and three steps back. He really took my time. We understand how that works on a financial principle. When we don't give Him freely of our money, it happened with my time. My worship dried up. My time with Him dried up. My personal prayer life, it just flew out the window. he showed me that this desire was not about me. It was not about my ability to perform it. It was about the people around me. It was about my neighbors. And when he broke my heart about my neighbors, then I was able to go and do it.
Mm. You know, as you're talking, I can't help but think of what Barbara would say if she was sitting here. She would say, "Why don't you tell them?" Because she wouldn't want to be the one to tell. She said, "Why don't you tell them about Adornments, which is a new ornament that Barbara created around Christmas, and it's the names of Christ."
It's a beautiful way to introduce a spiritual conversation in a very natural way.
It really is, mm-hmm. and Barbara's done this around his Christmas names and mm-hmm. his royal names. There are seven in each set, and they're priced in such a way that you could afford to give this to your immediate neighbors mm-hmm. on your street and not go broke.
Right.
I mean, it's a simple way, but a nice way to celebrate the season of Christmas and to esteem your neighbor in the process.
It is. And I like to tell women this is a whole new way to love your neighbors without being weird. That we don't want to come on to people with an agenda, with a recruitment, with something that's not interesting to them. We want to be just very natural. And everyone loves to receive a gift. And people love to come into our homes. And people really do, I'm convinced, want to connect with their neighbors. And inviting them over, giving them a gift like that is a very natural way.
I think there are some folks who are listening who would be concerned that if you had one of these introductory neighborhood cafes, mm-hmm. the folks who live two doors down on the other side of the street mm-hmm. that have the yard signs up during the political season mm-hmm. that are different than the yard signs you would put in your yard, you're going to get into World War III. The clash of the worldviews is going to come out, and you're not going to know when they start asking you all kinds of cultural or social questions, you're not going to know how to answer without looking bad.
You know, I really wanted God to give me that verse that said, "Love your neighbors that are like yourself."
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and that didn't happen. And so there are people who are very different from us. We have different opinions. We have different, you know, beliefs.
But has that happened at your home?
Never,
I mean,
never.
That's my
never
point.
Happened.
When people come into your home, I don't quite understand the psyche of it. But it's like they park those controversial issues at the curb and end up walking into your home because you've invited them in to a very personal place. And they're not going to be offensive, I don't think, right off the bat.
I have never had it happen. I have never had anyone slam the door on me. I have never had anyone call me names. I've never had anyone sick their dog on me. Everyone that I have met in my neighborhood has been kind. And in my home especially, it has never happened that we have... Now, I'm not saying we always agree on every single thing, but those agreements have been friendly, and those agreements have been people having a conversation and not necessarily coming to a debate or a resolution, but just having a conversation, and that's how the world works.
So if you've got one of your neighborhood cafes mm-hmm. going on and you're now into some spiritual dialogue mm-hmm. with folks going through a book, and somebody says, "You know, this is not what my church believes. My church believes X, Y, or Z," or "This doesn't sound right to me," and they start saying something about God that you're just going, "That is crazy. I got to correct this person right here."
Well, as the hostess, that is your role to do that. And I do have women come to my home who are from many, many church denominations. And some of them don't believe the way I believe. And all of us worship a little bit differently. And you do have those women who, maybe if they don't say, "That's not what my church believes," they say, "That's not been my experience." Mm. And I just say, "Well, what do you believe? And why do you think that way?" And the thing is, you don't, as the hostess, as the woman who's opening your home, you don't have to have all those answers. You're never going to have them. And if you wait until you do, then we'll never do it.
So when somebody comes up with mm-hmm. something, and has there been a time this has happened? Somebody
there has
said
been,
something?
What comes to mind is someone who was making a political statement that was, I guess it would have been considered to be in a line with the maybe what would have been the popular Christian right-wing political stance.
Right.
But I knew that in that room, there were probably women who would vote a different way. And I just simply said, "Well, let's save that conversation for the, for the voting booth." And we just moved on. And it is simple. You do have to learn, though, to recognize and be aware of all the different areas people are coming from. I had a woman one time complaining about her husband, one of those, doesn't put the lid on the toothpaste kinds of things. And she had no idea she was sitting next to a woman whose husband was terminally ill. And it was she was about to be begging for that opportunity to replace the toothpaste cap. And so having that big picture view of the different people is something that you do have to acknowledge and recognize one woman's issue, but then soften that for another woman.
There's another fear that I think some folks have, and that's that our house isn't Better Homes and Gardens. Yeah, or
Pinterest is a dangerous thing.
Yeah.
And so how do you deal with that? Because it really isn't about having to wow everybody.
People are not going to remember the details of your house. They're going to remember how they felt in your house. And on the other hand, you know, there are some housekeeping things that you should take care of. I do clean one room, the room where everybody's going to be. I look at it the day before in the same time of day so I can see where does the light shine. You know, these are the good thing about evening gatherings. You just dim lights and candles. And I straighten up that one room. They're not going to look under the sofa. They're not going to open the drawers. I dust the stuff on top. I clean off the upholstery. And, you know, I think our homes should be ready to have people into them because they are not our homes. They are the Lord's house that he has gifted to us. And so maintaining the care of that is part of just our stewardship of God's gifts to us. So I just try to keep it very simple. I have learned if it's not easy for me, nobody else is going to have fun either.
You have a thing that you include in the Neighborhood Cafe kit that's called the Hostess Covenant?
I do.
What is that?
The Hostess Covenant is taken from, in Paul's pastoral letters, when he was telling people, here's how to lead others. These are scriptures I've taken from his letters that guide the woman in her prayers for her own home and for her own neighborhood. The very first thing on the Hostess Covenant is, I commit to love my neighbors sincerely, not shove them into an agenda. And this is the whole not being weird part. It just comes from sincere love of other people. The verse is 1 Timothy 1:5-8. And in the Message, it says, the whole point of what we're urging is simply love. Love uncontaminated by self-interest and counterfeit faith, a life open to God. And that's all we're asking for. That's all we're asking for.
And people are really looking for authentic human beings who
Absolutely.
Are real, mm-hmm. who are willing to share their lives, but as you said, not be weird.
You know, for some reason, the women always respond when I tell of how, like, the time I was having an open house and I had my house looking good and I lit a fire, but I left the flue closed. And so the whole house filled with smoke 5 minutes before women were supposed to be coming over. And that endears to people because they're saying, I've messed up too. And so just being real about my own mistakes, my own need for the Lord, my own struggles in my life, and you don't have to give gory details. You don't have to turn that into something that could be gossip, but just to say, hey, I need this more than anyone. And I have received God's grace and forgiveness more than anyone. And that is why I am doing this. Not because I am perfect, not because I have all the answers, not because I feel perfectly prepared to do this, but because I have needed and received this from the Lord.
And all of us have been in homes where the hostess has maybe made a mistake and then has spent the rest of the evening apologizing 43 ways south of Sunday.
Well, when you have to open all the windows and it's 20 degrees out there, you do have to apologize to let the smoke out. But you got to get over it. You got to get over it. It's not about your house. It's not about your little Pinterest centerpiece. It is about the people who are sitting right in front of you and listening to what's on their heart. That's what Jesus did. He asked questions. What are you talking about? What do you think about that? What do you think the Bible says about that?
This may sound kind of dumb, but what's the first thing you say as you greet people that you don't know who are coming to your house mm-hmm. for the first time?
Hi, my name is Amy. Mm. Welcome to my house.
That's it.
Yeah, it's very simple. Hi, my name is Amy. Where do you live? Thank you for coming. How long have you lived here? Where did you live beforehand? Tell me about your family. Do you work outside the home? I ask questions about their lives.
And obviously, this is something you've been doing for a while. When did you have your first neighborhood cafe?
2008.
And along the way, you've run into other women who have said, I would love to do something like that. I just need some help. So you put a book together, you put a planning guide together, you put the invitations, you put the whole mm-hmm. thing into a kit. You just don't want to see the Rosewood Cafe. You want to see this happening in neighborhoods all across the country.
Just this morning, we had two new cafes register through my website, one in Wisconsin and one in Illinois. And also had a request for a cafe in Jacksonville, Florida. And so these are starting in neighborhoods across the country because, you know what? We're not that different. We're not that different wherever we go. We all have the same needs.
And by the way, we've got a link on our website at familylifetoday.com. If folks want to come to your website and find out more, they can just go to familylifetoday.com, click on the link, and they're right there. About how many cafes are there around the country?
There are cafes from California all the way up to New England. There's one in Alaska and even one in Canada. They pretty much follow the population density, you know, a lot in the Midwest, a lot in Texas, and a lot happening in Ohio. Exact number, I don't know, but the cafe kits have been shipped all over the place, and women are figuring out that this is a way that they can just say, you know what, I can do this.
Do they have a Zagat deal that ranks the food five-star?
No, we do share recipes. And you know what? One of the things that I learned along the way was I have a snack sign-up list, and I ask women to sign up, you know, for the different days that we're getting together. I ask someone to bring a healthy snack and someone to bring a guilty snack. And that was because, first of all, it was going to be too much on me to do it. I would be stressed and not enjoying it. But it also, it builds participation and ownership, and they start sharing recipes. And again, women want a purpose. You know, we do community service projects together, and those have all just come very naturally out of the time together as we learn what's on people's hearts.
The Rosewood Cafe is not going to show up on TripAdvisor or on Urban Spoon.
I would love it. I would love it to happen.
But you know, as Amy's describing this, I'm thinking back 25, almost 30 years ago, when you started putting together the Home Builders Couples series. These small group studies, it was this kind of neighborhood engagement that you had in mind, wasn't it?
It was, and you invited people in, and the common need of marriage got a lot of neighbors together around the Bible, practically finding out that the issues that they were dealing with in their marriages were not unlike what was happening in ours.
Well, surprise.
Like normal human beings struggle with differences in their marriage. I mean, earlier before we came in the studio, you described your own marriage of 23 years. You said, well, we've still got issues.
Well, you know, and I pray that we always do, because that means we're growing and I'm learning about God's grace, you know, in my own marriage, and I'm receiving my husband's forgiveness too. So,
and by the way, back to Bob's point here, this really would be a great way, Bob, to crack the ice in a neighborhood toward the possibility of having a home builder's couple study in your home, or an Art of Marriage small group.
Yeah, the Art of Marriage small group has some video assistance, so you can watch a 30-minute video and then go through the workbook together. The home builder study guides are really more discussion-based without the video support. Whatever works in the dynamics of your group,
And I've done both. I've done things with videos. I've done things with workbooks. I've written my own material for it. When you build the relationship with people and you get to know, oh, most of my women are married, or everyone has an interest in raising children, then each neighborhood cafe decides on their own what is the next best thing for them to do, so very flexible, and you can take it any direction you want. And when you build strong marriages in your community, it not only do you have the personal blessing of knowing you've had a small part in that God has used you there to do his work, but it builds a safe community.
Right.
I really like that, too. You mentioned it earlier. When I was growing up as a kid, I couldn't get away with anything in the neighborhood.
Do you know the two factors that affect neighborhood safety more than anything else? Would you think police presence or security systems or
nosy
door
neighbors.
Alarms? It is the number of neighbors you know by name and the time that you spend interacting with them. So know your neighbors and do stuff with them. Those two things will change the safety of your neighborhood more than anything else.
I'm just curious. You've done this. This has always been you with a group of women, right? You and your husband have never had couples over for a couples cafe, have you?
We have had couples Bible studies in our home, usually through our church, but not through a neighborhood cafe.
Yeah, so do you think that'd work?
I think it would work couples. I think it would work guys. I think it would work in college dorms. I think it would work on your lunch hour.
Okay, a guy's neighborhood cafe.
I would maybe put it in a toolbox or something.
Yeah,
I would probably
the manhood cave.
Yeah, the manhood cave. Yeah, okay. I think they would call it the man cave, and it would come in, you know, an old crumbled duct taped box. You
nachos
know?
And wings for that one. Okay, yeah. I'm getting a vision for it now.
Yeah. But the point is, you know, the relationships were not happening naturally for me. I wasn't meeting people. Maybe it's just my neighborhood. I've lived in other neighborhoods where people were always interacting. Where I am now, it didn't happen. I had to say, okay, Friday at 9:30, it's going to happen. I'm going to make it happen, and this is how it's going to happen.
How much of your life revolves around your hosting a cafe. I mean, is this something that you have your job, mm-hmm. your family, and the cafe ministry?
Well, because it's a ministry, for me, it's a lot more. But when I think about just my neighborhood and my home, because one of the things that God has always told me is, Amy, you've got to do it. You can't just preach it. You have to do it. So I do it. And I would say to host an open house would take a couple hours to pass out the invitations, because I do try to connect with people individually. Getting my house ready, you know, an hour or so. Preparing my heart is a daily matter. And the actual having them in, I do about 90 minutes. And so it's about 2 hours from before and afterwards.
And share with our listeners how you involve Emma. She's a teenager.
Yeah.
Undoubtedly, she's involved in these things. She helps you, right?
Well, most of the time she's at school, because I have done it in the morning. And, you know, our neighborhood doesn't have a lot of kids her age. And so this has not been her passion the way it's been mine. But one thing that is very important is, if you're married and if you have a family, to make sure that this is something that your family understands. That I think our most important ministry is in our home, first of all. I don't think your kids have to be perfect. I don't think you have to have a marriage that's all together in order to be hospitable to your neighbors. But I would say to make sure that you have your family's alignment on this is very, very important, as well as your church.
So the folks who are listening who are going, okay, maybe I'm getting one of those taps, and maybe 8 months from now, I'll act on it, because it took you 8 months before you did.
I get emails from people who say, I've been thinking about this for a couple of years.
Okay, so somebody who's hearing about this and thinking, maybe I should do this, and they want to go ahead and get the kit. What's the kit going to provide for them?
The kit is going to have everything they need to host their open house in terms of inviting people into their home, letting them know what to say when they knock on the door, what people will say back to them. I give them suggested scripts. And again, everything is so flexible and adaptable. It's going to give them tools to keep track of who they've talked to and who is coming and who continues to come back. It's going to give them tools to follow up and make those relationships go deeper. And it's going to give them a curriculum to talk about.
There are recipes if they want to cook something easy.
Yeah.
There are invitations, pre-printed invitations that are in there. You've really made it as simple as possible
Thank
for somebody
you.
To do this.
There are some free resources at my website as well. The guest list, the snack list, a leader's guide.
Well, and once again, we got a link at familylifetoday.com for anybody who wants to get to your website.
Yeah.
And Amy, I want to say thanks for joining us on Family Life Today. And I love your idea and love, I think even more importantly, that you're calling folks into action. And I think today more than maybe any other time in our nation's history, we've got a lot of people who are concerned about what's happening to our country, and they just don't know what to do. And what you're giving them is a very simple step that they can take to make a difference where they live.
Yeah. You know, when Jesus said to pray for the workers of the harvest, in the very next verse, which happens to be the next chapter, so sometimes we miss it, he said to those same people, it's you. You're the one that I'm sending. Mm-hmm. You're the one I'm sending out there. And so there is a time for prayer, and there is a time for action.
Well, right now is the time to go to the web. Go to familylifetoday.com so you can find out more about the kit that Amy Lively has put together to help you be more hospitable in your neighborhood and engage with your neighbors and share Christ with your neighbors in a way that is comfortable and convenient and winsome and engaging. Again, go to familylifetoday.com and find out more about the Neighborhood Cafe Kit from Amy Lively. And there's information there about the Home Builders series, the couples studies that we put together that have been used now for more than two decades by tens of thousands of couples. It's a great way to engage people in conversation around their marriage that also points them to look deeper into the Scriptures to see what the Bible has to say about our marriages and about our families. Again, go to familylifetoday.com for all of this, familylifetoday.com, or call 1-800-FL-TODAY, 1-800-358-6329, 1-800-F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. I want to share with you before we wrap up today a really nice email we received from a dad who wrote to say, thanks for programs you did recently on dads dating their daughters. I happened to catch the episode where you recommended starting to date your daughter at age 4 or 5. And that got my attention because I have a 4, I am going to be 5 years old, daughter, but the idea of taking her on a date had never crossed my mind. She has three brothers, including a twin. They are all very close in age, and it's a rough-and-tumble crowd. She is my natural-born leader. She's always been right in the middle of the mix, and she is smarter and quicker and can hit just as hard as her brothers. I also grew up as one of three rowdy boys, so honestly, never occurred to me that I needed to treat my fiery girl any differently than my wild boys. But on Saturday, following your program, I went ahead and invited her out on her very first special daddy-daughter date. For nearly 3.5 hours, over cheeseburgers, fries, and ice cream cones, she talked nonstop. All I had to do was sit there and look directly in those big blue eyes and smile and nod occasionally, brush back the stray curl that always seems to escape from her unruly mop. He says, our date was the first time I had deliberately treated my daughter like a little lady. Perhaps the longest amount of time she's ever had my undivided attention. When we got back home, she launched from the cab of my truck, wrapped her little arms tightly around my neck, and as she clung to me, unwilling to let go, she whispered in my ear, thank you, Daddy, for making me feel so special and for being with just me without the boys. This dad says, I held her for a long time, tears streaming down my face, telling her over and over again just how special she is to me and how much I love her. It was one of the best moments of my life so far, at least till our next date. So thanks for reminding me of what a precious gift from God my daughter is and encouraging me to cherish and love her as he does. And then he signed his note, said, a no longer totally clueless dad. You know, we love hearing from listeners about how God is using family life today to strengthen your family, to strengthen your marriage relationship, and to point you back to the source for life and for hope and for godliness, and that is Jesus Christ. And we appreciate those of you who get in touch with us. We also appreciate those of you who make this radio program possible, those of you who help support the Ministry of Family Life today with your donations. We are listener-supported. Those donations help cover the cost of producing and syndicating this daily radio program. So in a very real sense, you are partners with us in this ministry. If you can help with a donation today, we'd like to send you, as a thank you gift, the audiobook, Thanksgiving, A Time to Remember. We took Barbara Rainey's book that tells the story of Thanksgiving, and we had it read dramatically with some dramatic enhancements as well. The audiobook is our thank you gift to you when you help support the Ministry of Family Life Today this week. You can do that online at familylifetoday.com. Click the button that says I Care and make an online donation. Or you can call 1-800-FL-TODAY, make a donation over the phone, and just ask for the Thanksgiving audiobook when you do that. Or request the Thanksgiving audiobook when you write a check and mail it to Family Life Today at Box 7111. Little Rock, Arkansas, and our zip code is 72223. And with that, we got to wrap things up for this week. Thanks for being with us. Hope you have a great weekend, and hope you and your family can worship together in church this weekend. And on Monday, join us back, because we're going to talk about something that many women have told us is an issue for them, and that's the issue of wanting to be in control. We'll talk about whether that is an issue for women, and if so, what do you do about it? Got a couple of guests who are going to be joining us for that discussion. Hope you can tune in as well. I want to thank our engineer today, Keith Lynch, and our entire broadcast production team. On behalf of our host, Dennis Rainey, I'm Bob Lapine. We will see you back next time for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life of Little Rock, Arkansas. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.